Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Right before we do that, people were getting into their bags, seeing if they could get a little Sean Bajani and challenge various people in sports to a scrap. Some Jamie on the YouTube said, can I let dogs loose on Michael Vick?
Oh,
Michael
Vick, come on now.
He's laid himself prostrate before the country and tried to rehabilitate in a way that I don't think very many people do. I feel like y'all need to let Michael Vick live a little bit. Mm-hmm. Someone said they wanted to fight Mark Daigneault, the OKC coach.
Oh, yeah.
Just don't like something about him. And then popping up, little round two for Courtland Finnegan, Scott Foster.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, he especially with the beef that he had with Chris Paul, especially while he was here. Mm-hmm. And then Brandon Cooks came up just there. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't know if I anticipated that, but I get where you're coming from. All right. Let's go around the NFL now. And I tease this. The NFL, obviously, at the league meetings, they're doing all sorts of various things. One of the things that apparently they've done is they've tweaked the definition of a hip drop tackle. But within this kind of release, they said that they're tracking about one hip drop tackle per game and a one-time loss injury approximately every single week, which...
That's too much.
Like, that's clearly the reason why you're trying to get this out of there, right? So that's the chief administrator of football operations, Don Aponte, is saying that. So the rule tweak is now says as such, if... a situation where a player grabs the runner with one or both hands, because it used to be with both hands, one or both hands, wraps the runner up, and unweights himself by swiveling and dropping his hips and or lower body, landing on or trapping the runner's legs at or below the knee. So, like, it's a really minor tweak, and it's still in the same place, but there's a number of those plays that you see that don't get called, and it's very frustrating. Especially because the penalties that are there, 15-yard penalties, we know.
Yeah.
But the league still expects more fines than penalties.
That's the thing.
Like, that's what are we doing here?
You hit it right on the head. Because, so you expect more fines and after the fact. That doesn't make Joe Mixon's ankle better.
No, Aponte said, when we implemented the rule last year, we talked about it being primarily handled during the post-game process and not necessarily a flag on the field.
That's dumb.
Then why did you put the flag on the field portion of it in if you did not anticipate it to do that? And then I think the bigger question that's there to be asked is, what kind of deterrent do you actually think you're going to have?
The penalty would be it.
With the fine as opposed to like the on-field penalty. Because I feel like the fine limits itself to maybe hurting the player who actually had the penalty. And yes, maybe then that causes them change. Or maybe they feel like this is a budget that I can undertake and that... You know, that's not an immediate deterrent that, again, as you said, does not help Joe Mixon's leg, right? Mm-hmm. But on top of that, I think an on-field deterrent makes it so that it's no longer just the player's responsibility to try and keep this. Everybody on the team does not want to be penalized. And so everybody on the team, including the infrastructure, whether it's the ownership or the general manager or the coaches, or everybody has an incentive now to try and stop these tackles from happening, as opposed to just an individual fine or what have
you. No, you're absolutely right. As much as we kind of like, oh, come on, put a dress on them, whenever referees are, you know, over officiating hits on the quarterback, it does work. The flag is a deterrent to a lot of guys as they approach a quarterback, being very aware of how they're hitting that guy or letting up or whatever. Without the flag during the game, I don't see how it's going to change a whole lot. You know, in terms of hip drop tackles, they'll take the fine, you know, or they'll argue it or whatever. You know, a lot of times you're like, oh, don't throw the flag just so casually here. This is one where it truly needs to be thrown, because it'll be a deterrent, you know?
At least you would hope so. Like, yeah. Even if it wasn't, that feels like the best opportunity you're trying to deter this, if you actually speak on this. You were kind of making joking allusions to this yesterday, the idea of, oh, but you guys care about player safety.
Yeah.
Sometimes it does feel a little incongruent, mm-hmm. the ways that the NFL goes about the measures that they're supposedly putting in place to make things safer.
Yeah.
And this is one that obviously, locally, we have a particular gripe about, but it's reasonable, right? Like, why do you think that the penalties are going to continue to work, especially after you acknowledge yourself, hey, this is an issue? Changing changing a little bit of wording within the rule, I don't think is what's going to stop this from being a weekly occurrence of seeing a hip drop.
And they said
tackle.
It. Someone's getting hurt every week. They said it. Someone's getting hurt every week.
Right. And and even further than that, which obviously the injury matters a great deal. I'm not trying to sidestep that, but that you're seeing at least one hip drop tackle a game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, like, why do we think that, in fact, it also feels like that would be not a smart way of going about, like, hey, we're just expecting to find somebody every game.
That's so silly.
With every game that you officiate every week, we're likely to throw a fine out there. I feel like there's probably going to need to be more deterrent than that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we can even get to a larger discussion of how much, like, what type of things actually serve as deterrence when it comes to penalties.
Mm-hmm.
But at least when it comes to the NFL, it seems like an actual flag on the field is a much better deterrent than finding somebody in the aftermath, even though I'm sure that will allow them, that allows the league to get a better look at it and maybe really assess it. It feels like that penalty on the field is, also the penalty on the field would work better in my mind, even if you're erring on the side of caution and maybe over penalizing the defense, which, to be fair,
but that's what I'm saying.
Like, defense is super penalized at this point.
But use the example of what they're doing at quarterback. We get frustrated with that. We get frustrated that they so casually throw the flag, but you know what? It does deter players from doing it. You need to do the same thing with the hip drop.
Yeah, they're comfortable with you know, going that far to make sure mm-hmm. that quarterback's protected. Why not these other players offensively? Because mm-hmm. it does hurt you, especially mm-hmm. if you're trying to push for an 18-game season. Don't let the things that are also going to take some of your star players off the field still exist when you're adding more games and more wear and tear to your players. So I don't know. I'm like, the NFL continues to have some of these push and pulls, and hopefully they learn from this and they actually are going to put a little bit of emphasis with their players to mm-hmm. try and get that. All right, some other things that are happening. Are you in on Hard Knocks?
I've been in on it, and except the last, three or four years, because it's been so produced. You know, I had the chance to see some of it from behind the scenes and talk to some people. Like, I was in on it early, big time, but then I've realized that they set up a lot of this stuff.
Yeah,
and
I know
they've
tried to do some of the different things, the, you know, Hard Knocks in season, and mm-hmm. they're doing it as a full division mm-hmm. to try and make it a little bit more interesting. I've had a little bit of a hard time even sticking with it.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to Hard Knocks, they've opened up the criteria to make more teams eligible, because obviously this has been something that, even though there is a level of, like, editorial control mm-hmm. on what it looks like on the back end, these teams don't want to have these cameras in their facilities watching all of their processes. And so, you know, it's supposed to be a volunteer, but it doesn't really work all that well. So they opened up mm-hmm. the criteria for the teams that they could select. So it used to be that teams with a first-year head coach could be eliminated from the pool. That's been taken away, mm-hmm. right? Teams that were featured on Hard Knocks in season were supposed to be kind of taken away from the ability of doing it in the offseason, right? This training camp, mm-hmm. that's been taken away. And teams featured on Hard Knocks over the last 8 years, that's also been taken away. So who's eligible for Hard Knocks training camp this summer?
kind of everybody.
Yeah, basically everybody. The Texans also in there. Mm-hmm. Would you want to see the Texans on Hunter?
No, I wouldn't. I would be all in just because it's the Texans, but I don't need that in my life right now for the Texans. I was thinking, like, who would I want and who would be maybe most likely? I think the Browns are always in there, but the Browns aren't on the list. So that would be interesting, but they're not on the list of the teams that could be eligible. At least the one that I saw.
Are you in on, Giants are on the list here.
That would be one.
Especially because the quarterback room, although I do wonder, it does seem like, especially with the training camp, when maybe they, with these changes, they're also going to change the way that they can produce this a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like when they get into training camp, it's a little bit harder to get some of the stars. They try and hinge the narrative arc on some of like the players along the periphery, mm-hmm. right? Some of the guys that are battling for their spot to try and kind of build that that will
try
they
to build
won't
the storyline,
yeah, yes. build those stakes. But sometimes you're like, I want to see what's happening with some of these star players or some of these bigger players, and seeing what that quarterback room with mm-hmm. Russell Wilson
yes.
and Jameis Winston and possibly Shedeur Sanders, like seeing that. I think that would be deeply interesting.
They're going to mess around, focus on, Tommy DeVito?
Tommy DeVito. My bad. I didn't mean to leave him out.
He's going
to
have a whole segment, a whole episode.
I wouldn't mind seeing the Steelers, depending on what Aaron Rodgers does, too.
Yeah, but you didn't
but get even enough, if he doesn't go there.
You didn't get enough with the Jets where he was hamming it up and smiling at the camera when they had.
But Tomlin and the rest of the quarterback room and all that. I think the Commanders could be in play.
Yeah, the Commanders is a good look.
They could be
an up-and-coming franchise, some young teams. I think that would be a really fun thing to get a feel for, like what Jaden Daniels is, kind of general routine is. And, get to see Laremy Tunsil again.
That's right. Laremy Tunsil.
That's right. Yeah. I found they did the in-season with the AFC North. You got a decent amount of Mike Tomlin. I found that very insightful. So I'd be interested in seeing him back in that space.
I thought I seen something where they was trying to do a hard knock with Bill Belichick in North Carolina.
They are.
They canceled that, didn't they?
Oh, did they? It happened very quickly thereafter.
He said, no, you're not. pretty much that's what happened.
I ain't going to lie. I would have been all in on that.
Yeah.
I would have checked that out.
Yeah, they backed out of that one.
I wonder what they – this might be too much, but trying to dip into, college if they do, some type of
– I would love that. Yeah, I would love that.
I mean, I feel like even if it's not Hard Knocks, because obviously that's NFL media, someone's going to get into this space, right? I mean, you've already had Last Chance U, which is a little bit different level of things. But
with I love that show.
Netflix doing all of these documentaries. And I mean, just all these streamers having so much money for trying to get content.
Yeah.
It seems like and Drive to Survive, all these things happening in these various sports spaces of these documentaries. It feels like it's only a matter of time. If it hasn't already happened, to be fair. Like, there's so many of these types of things out there that it's hard to keep track of them. I'd be surprised if we haven't already had some program do a little bit of
they do in-house stuff a lot.
Yeah, you kind of see, with Colorado and Deion Sanders doing little stuff
but
like that.
But that's all in-house. I'd like for an outside.
But if it was, Hard Knocks, Colorado with Deion Sanders.
Yes.
I think a lot of people be into it.
All access. Yeah.
All right, so I found this to be really interesting if, looking at kind of ownership around the league. So the Browns obviously gave Myles Garrett a huge contract. We're talking $40 million average annual value. It's one of those things that you look over and you go, hey, defensive lineman that you're looking to pay. Hello, Will Anderson Jr. That's going to factor in for Will. But I'm thankful that once you get to that place, once you get to that space of handing him his money, I have no concerns about what that looks like because it seems like the Browns might. The Browns, Jimmy Haslam, owner of the Cleveland Browns, apparently told reporters that the front office has challenged Myles Garrett to, quote, become a real leader of the team, starting with his practice habits and actions, according to Cleveland.com's Mary Kay Cabot. And going further, Jason Lloyd of The Athletic had reported after Myles Garrett, got his extension, that it is well known within the Browns organization that Garrett is frequently late to the facility and skips mandatory team activities on multiple occasions.
So you mentioned that before the show, and it was just I was shocked by that because that's nothing I've ever heard about Myles Garrett would tie in with that.
No,
at all, nothing. And I remember him from college, obviously, and I've never heard anything like that. To me, that's an insult, man. Become a real leader of the team.
Yeah.
That's a shot.
And before I had seen that other reporting, which apparently happened weeks ago, because again, this came out when Myles Garrett had gotten his extension, mm-hmm. I was like, that seems completely antithetical to the
yes.
to the picture of the player that we've been served mm-hmm. In NFL media. But apparently, at the very least, like, it's understood that there's some of these wiggle, there's some of these spaces in wiggle room that understandably you would allow to happen with a player of his magnitude.
Sure. And so, you paid him. Like, you paid him with 40?
After a while. Yeah. It took him a while to get to that, place when they were trying to get him to
you
there.
You just paid him $40 million a year and said, you know, kind of want him to be a real leader. What is going on?
I don't know.
I wonder if that was like a I don't want to say a slap in the face or anything like that, but kind of like a, yeah, we want you to be a real leader this time. Kind of like a little disrespect thing for.
No, it is a
trying to put
thing.
This. Yeah, like they're trying to do that on purpose.
Mm-hmm. It's a challenge. I think. Yeah. I mean, that's what you should expect your players to be held to that standard, especially when they're paid a lot. Mm-hmm. And yes, you're right. Jay Hoover on the YouTube page. That sounds like what the Texans would have liked Tunsil to be.
100%.
Right, yeah. Like challenging 100%. You to be a different level of yourself. If you're going to be a captain and carry this cost on our salary
but
cap.
But they moved on from him. The Browns signed him.
That's
and
right.
then said that.
And I think they're still within that space where they feel like he can answer that call.
Yeah.
I mean, again, Nick Caserio said that, you know, they've kind of batted away the idea of, like, I guess whatever toxic, you know, and toxic is kind of a it's a word that carries a lot of baggage, right? It's very loaded.
It's a flashpoint.
But, you know, I think it speaks to the idea of, hey, being that leader in a lot of different ways, maybe not just being about your money, right? We talk about CJ Stroud on a podcast talking about him being a vet as if to say he's not doing above a certain expectation.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what be a true leader in such a, in so far as you go above and beyond, be a JJ Watt in some ways. And I think that's interesting to kind of, that's a great point of, like, comparing it to, like, the Tunsil thing and where you eventually move on from. Yeah.
Now, to be fair, the offensive line wasn't really that good. So, I mean, it's kind of like we trying to get this offensive line better. At least, I guess the Browns' defensive line was okay. It mm-hmm. wasn't like that was the struggling part of the team.
Yeah.
They had a little more issues going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can see why they kept him.
Yeah.
But I mean, it speaks to the way that the Texans, like, their mentality, their MO is in such a place where they're like, these are the kind of guys that we want. And I know that again, Caserio is not going to speak specifically to that being the way that they're handling it, but it does seem like they don't want to have to challenge you to be a leader. They want you to kind of
want
that.
People that swarming already.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly. And shout out to the team. Continue to build a swarmy team. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next. The Houston Chronicle just put out an interesting piece. The Texans are seeking a new location for their headquarters, according to Cal and Hannah McNair. Let's get into that and also Cal and Hannah McNair on Texas All Access next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Thursday to you. I should mention that later in the show, 1 o'clock, we'll welcome in former NFL scout, Super Bowl winning scout, mind you, Brian Broaddus, to talk a little bit about this draft that's coming up in 3 weeks for the Texans. So, yeah, we'll do that at 1 o'clock. But, Lopez.
And real quick.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, right at this time.
Oh, that's right.
Right at this time tomorrow, we're going to have Frank Caliendo in studio. So
that'll
be kind of cool.
He's going to talk about draft, too?
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
And in a number of voices. We'll have John Gruden talking about the draft.
That's right.
We'll have, just go down the list, you know?
All right. Yeah, looking forward to that. All right. But right here, we talked a lot about kind of the Texans and what they're looking for organizationally when it comes to, you know, this stadium, the NRG Stadium and the various mm-hmm. things there, like what works for them, what serves their purposes. And Jonathan Alexander just today put out a piece about the Texans seeking a new location
mm-hmm.
for their headquarters, according to Cal and Hannah McNair. They said that they're still early, but there's a lot of excitement. They said in an interview that they did at league meetings. But yeah, the Texans are one of four teams that actually have their headquarters in the stadium there. Now, Lopez, I think immediately, especially with all of the tenor and the conversation that has been had about the stadium itself and Rodeo and Harris County and the possibility of renovation versus moving, does this at all raise any flags in that aspect, or does this just feel like an organization trying to like raise their profile and again compete at a different level.
Well, like raise a flag as in like, oh no, but I'll just put it this way. It means something. It's not nothing. Like you know, because I think it's just another way that we see how they're trying to elevate their stature, their presence, their facilities, their footprint, you know, and their standing in the NFL as a top tier organization. There is nothing, you know, like as much as we can talk about, and I've talked about, you know, this stadium needs upgrades, flat out. It does. And somebody might argue with that, but I'm telling you, you know, we're there a lot. I know the infrastructure. We've seen some issues. We know about the roof, but there's a lot of other stuff going on. It needs upgrades. It needs a renovation at minimum. Of course, they brought in Mike Tomlin for that reason, if not others. But the facility itself, that's one of the best bubble facilities indoor that you can find in the NFL. At least it's still up there, I should put it that way. Facilities are strong. They've recently expanded the weight facility and the training facility right there in the stadium. So I don't think it's nothing. I think it's like, okay, so now we don't know exactly where they're looking.
And, no, I mean, this is early in the process, accordingly. Yeah.
But I think it's significant. Not like, oh no, you know, they're moving, but I think it means something.
I can tell you some of the things that I immediately thought of, which one of them, obviously, when you're sharing a building in the way that they do, right, people can kind of cross wires. Like you can have instances where, you know, rodeo is doing things and it makes stuff difficult. I recall listening to Texans All Access, which you should, 6 p.m. on Sports Radio 610. Those fellas, Mark Vandermeer and John Harris, coming up to our studios because all of the traffic that's happened in a rodeo during that time, and like all of the people that work for the Texans are having to navigate that to get to the building.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen if you have a separate facility. And
correct.
I think that it allows you, again, even though they've done a good job of kind of trying to have good facilities there, you can have the best facilities. You can have the appropriate amount of space.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of, you know, I think you can give yourself an opportunity to really compete at a high level there. But another thing I thought about is if they are doing renovations or if they're moving or what have you, you could be out of the space of that happening by solidifying your own space and having the opportunity of like building your own facility outside of what's happening in the stadium. I think that it allows you to get to that place. Talk less of if they do something like what they did up in Dallas, which is trying to make your facilities on by themselves into a whole nother level of destination, right? We talked about how with teams and stadiums, they want to have these destination things. I do wonder like what level of aspirations they're going to have in that regard, if they're going to have the team facilities be some level of, you know, real estate endeavor as well.
Yes, I think 100%. I think that's something to keep an eye on. That's one of the things that I think it could mean, as I just said, it means something, is that, you know, maybe it's property they purchased, they have total control over. And you mentioned the rodeo. Let's keep in mind, NRG Stadium, hell, they might have a big event this weekend, starting tomorrow. And these
Disney
guys...
Disney on Ice or something.
You've got whatever, an event like that. You have concerts. You have monster, you know, jams and all that other stuff that they have down there. You have Final Four. You have regional tournaments and all that stuff. They can't get in or out as easily. And that's not just, you know, not to downplay it, but that's not just like Vandermeer and Harris. That's dudes trying to work out. That's coaches trying to coach.
Which Nick Caserio, when he was talking earlier today, and it's one of those things that's, and not just when he's talking earlier today, he said this on Texas All Access. What was that, 2 days ago, yesterday, to that effect? He talked about how this team has a good penchant for having guys in the building and wanting to work out together. And I think you make that easier by having a different facility there. But I think more than anything, it just speaks to the commitment that this organization has to contending. It's easy to, again, like you were laying out, oh, man, they've got the bubble facility. They've got a solid weight room. It's easy to look at it and say what you have is fine, especially like from your personal kind of pain aspect of it, right? When you talk about owners, sometimes you could look at an owner and saying, all right, well, they're trying to get something out of the city. This would not represent that. This would be them going out to build a headquarters that allows them to do business at a high level and investing in the team to make the team as good as possible. And so I kind of just viewed it as like the additional commitment that they have to trying to win.
Are you going to Disney on Ice? because it's this weekend. It's next weekend.
No, it was mentioned. Hannah mentioned
like,
it.
I was like, how'd you do that? Next Thursday, Friday, Saturday is
hey, man, my weekend plans are for me. Don't worry about that, brother. You know, like sometimes I want to see.
That's uncanny.
Some people just want to see Mike Wazowski skate around, all right? Is that an issue?
Yeah, well, yeah, I was just blown away. I was like, I'll be dang, it's next weekend. But it's something like that a lot. And that kind of. Graduations in May. They have 3 weekends in a row with graduations. That's going to affect them getting in and out and doing their job. So I think it definitely means something. I think it definitely means, you know, they're looking, man. You know how when you start looking for a house, it goes a lot faster than you thought it would. Oh, we're just going to look around. Figure you did this recently. Oh, we're going to start looking around for a house. 3 weeks later, you got a new house because you're like fall in love with something. You start, your eye starts to wander. I think that's where, That's how I would put it with the Texans right now. Their eyes are collectively starting to wander, and I think it's going to go a lot faster than you thought.
I will say, yeah. I do, and again, I do wonder if this, because, I mean, look, even if there was to build some level of new stadium, whether on those grounds somewhere else, right, that's mm-hmm. a lot of conversation we've had. There's a possibility of building a facility within that, but I do wonder if this doesn't speak again. I know that that's been the company line and they've left the door open, but this doesn't speak again to their commitment to actually staying at NRG. Like, hey, we'll move the facility.
Yes.
We'll do the facility stuff to make it easier to just whatever the renovations need to be done to remain at NRG Stadium. Go ahead and do that there.
And maybe, just maybe, and this is just, you know, pure speculation, all that area over there where the fields are and the bubble and some of that other stuff
can go to.
It could be a, you know, maybe a meeting facility if they want to still keep the Astrodome, you know, kind of a destination point, little area or whatever.
You mean
people to a gathering place, yeah. You know, restaurants and such, that kind of thing. You never know. You never know what they're thinking. I will say this, listening to Texans All Access last night when Cal and Hannah were on there, again, for about 8 or 10 minutes, it wasn't, you know, an hour long deal, but they did. One of the things that they flat out said is, you know, regarding the stadium, they were asked about it and they made it very, very obvious that the, you know, renovation is going to be extensive. I think that's the word they used. And that means, you know, maybe even ultimately a rebuild. And I think the quote I wrote down on the current state of things, Cal McNair said, we need to get it up to date. We realize that. And so there, the wandering eye thing is happening. You know,
yeah, but I do appreciate that. Like, as they're trying to figure some things out, this feels like I don't know if the happy medium is the right way to put it, but this feels like an opportunity. And I mean, for me, who I don't know how much I love the idea of like a rebuild of what have you, but like this feels like something that can allow them to get to a place to keep the stadium where it is mm-hmm. and make it more of what it needs to be.
Yeah.
That feels like it could be something that's reachable, right? Because again, yeah. Part of the negotiation, yes, it'd be easy to just find somewhere on the peripheries of the greater Houston area where they'd be willing to give you mm-hmm. a lot of tax dollars or what have you, or, you know, and build a stadium there. But maybe it's even more like easily accessible or what have you. But I think that, you know, I would love if they could find a way to do something in there that is also that mm-hmm. they can meet with, as they said, the partners in the rodeo, but more importantly, Harris County, and find something that actually works for all those parties involved.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad they're getting a jump start on it too, mm-hmm. kind of early, because like the situation in Cleveland is kind of messy mm-hmm. because it seems like it's a lot of last minute stuff now. I think the city kind of underestimated them moving outside of Cleveland. Mm-hmm. So it seems like right now they, you know, I know they looking, but it's a lot of things can happen. It's a lot of stuff, yes. A lot of discussions can happen. It's nothing last minute.
Sure. Sure, absolutely. I think there's some definite possibilities here. You know, whether it's the new facility, if it's downtown or wherever it is, or, you know, being able to do something with that prop. I mean, they're not going to need that facility anymore. They won't need the bubble and those 3 football fields. You know, so that's going
to
be something.
That could begin to answer some of those questions that you're hoping to find mm-hmm. from what you're looking for right there where you are. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including help seems to be on the way for the Astros. And let's celebrate again, the Rockets getting 50 wins. We'll talk about that next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into what's popping here on Sports Radio 610. You know what? I'll do this. We were just talking about Cal and Hannah McNair making it known that they're interested and they're looking for the land and the facilities to be able to move their headquarters, their team headquarters and facilities out of NRG Stadium elsewhere. I found this interesting that came in on the text line. They said they were season ticket holder and they've got 8 seats. They've had the seasons, had them since the building opened. And for the years that Cal McNair let Jack Easterby and B.O.B. ruin the franchise and trade away great players, they felt like an idiot paying in those prices during those years where Cal was cutting his teeth to try and figure things out. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely understand that. And I'm interested for anybody that feels like that. Like, where are you now with the organization and how they're handling things? Because it does feel like they have very much turned a corner, which I think they do deserve a level of respect for, because ownership doesn't always turn a corner. It feels like once you find a level of decision on this is the quality of ownership that we believe it to be, it don't always get better. And it feels like it has gotten better here.
No, it has. And and let's be very, very honest here. Cal has evolved a lot. And I think a big part of that is Hannah. Hannah's been very, very good for this organization and very, very good for Cal. And but I don't want to shortchange Cal either, because he's evolved.
Yeah, you were like, hey, yeah, he got him a wife that got him straight.
Yeah, no, that's not what I'm saying. But she's been very good for him.
She's been nice.
Professionally, you know, and business-wise. But he's done a lot himself. I think he's just more comfortable.
Yeah.
And just kind of put a bow on that whole discussion, you know, of what I think could be happening, you know, over there. You have to realize, you know, one of the reasons and this is what we're talking about off air as well, so might as well bring it on air. I give the Texans a lot of grace for having that wandering eye, because they have to deal with the county on everything, not just what are you going to do with the Astrodome, the big things, but like everyday maintenance. I mean, have you ever tried to, you know, get your, this is not a very good comparison, but like we've all dealt with like the tax appraisal. You know,
I thought you were going to go with like when you're renting
or renting,
right?
Yes. You got to make this call and then they got to call someone.
You got to call the landlord if you want to put the picture up.
That's probably a better example. But like you have to wait in line and then, oh, we'll get back to you. And oh, we got to talk to the committee and we got to do that. They do that at the very highest level with they have to deal with the county on everything.
Is that similar to having it like a HOA?
Very much so. HOA.
Except the HOA landlord is like, you need to make sure to cut your grass. In this instance, it's like, hey, can y'all come through and can fix this?
Yeah. Hey, y'all not allowed to do this.
No, there would be a lot.
And it's all Bud Adams' fault.
Well, of course. And Amy. But
no, sincerely. It's Bud Adams. Like, when they left, and Brooks Cabina wrote a really interesting piece about this. Like, when the Oilers left to Nashville, when the county was getting ready to build NRG or then Reliant, they were like, all right, but we are going to situate this in a way where y'all not going, we're not letting y'all have this.
I mean, can you add, like, the water goes out on your apartment, right? Or your house and you're renting. That's bad enough. Imagine a 75,000 seat stadium.
Yeah.
And you got everyday maintenance. How many hoops you got to jump through?
Yeah.
Nah, man, I give them a lot of grace. Go ahead and move the facility somewhere else. Put the screws on the county to get the renovation or rebuild or whatever. Normally, I'd be kind of on the other side, like, oh boy.
And I mean,
another billionaire asking for something.
No. And hopefully do this in service of the fans, right? You take all those facilities out, and now can you be more fan-facing? Especially, again, the people that are texting in talking about the astronomical rise in ticks or whatever. It feels like, hey, the team is getting better, but where is also that full focus on, if I'm paying for it, my experience? And it seems like the Texans are trying to meet that. So I do give them that level of credit. All right. Some things that are popping. All right. I'm going to go to the positives. The Rockets get a big time victory where it feels like the game itself did not matter as much to me. And was I alone in that? Or did you also feel kind of like, because there were some things, the good things that happened in that game. Don't get me wrong. Steven Adams didn't even play, even though he was feeling all right, just because you could handle that business very easily.
Well, let me refer you to my number one note on the Rockets game last night. Paint by numbers. That was a paint by numbers win. You know,
some of the numbers, 143 and 105 was the victory. That was the winning number. Another number, 50, that got you to officially 50 wins, your first 50 win season in over 6 years. And then some of the other numbers that were happening here. How about a number 5? That is the number of three-pointers that Reed Sheppard made. Mm-hmm. And it's good to see any instance where he gets an opportunity to shine, because that's another young talent that you've added over this time period. Jalen Green had a solid game, 22 points in 28 minutes on efficient shooting as well. Alpi was solid in his game as well. Jabari was really good in his minutes, brought down a whole 14 rebounds with Alperen Şengün, so they combined for 28 boards. The only bad thing that I can point to in this game, Dylan Brooks picked up another technical, so he will be suspended.
Could be out.
They
have to review it, I guess, today. We'll find out today.
Right. If there's a review, he'll appeal the technical. If it goes through, then you know it'll be rescinded, and he would still have 15. If that 16th holds up,
he gone.
And especially for the Oklahoma City Thunder on Friday,
right?
But hey, I mean, because this is the stretch, the last few games of the season where you're playing tough teams.
Five games to glory. That's what it is. It's five games to glory right now. They play the Oklahoma City Thunder, as you pointed out, and then the four teams behind them.
Is it really all four of them?
They play the Oklahoma City Thunder and then the four teams directly behind them, including, you know, obviously the
Golden State, Clippers, Los Angeles, Denver. Not the four teams, but they
four
are
of the
four
five
teams.
Behind them.
Yes, 100%.
Four of the five behind them, but they face four teams directly behind them in the standings. So you get it done. And that was a paint-by-numbers win. In other words, you did exactly what you did. You just went step by step by step. Boom, you win the game. Now you got to prove something.
Yeah.
Now you got to prove something.
That's what the final stretch will be. That's what the playoffs will be. And then after the playoffs, whatever the results are, Sham Sharania putting in some possibilities for the Rockets. As, you know, he reported yesterday, I believe this is on Pat McAfee, there's mutual interest in trading for Kevin Durant by five teams. The New York Knicks, San Antonio Spurs, Miami Heat, Minnesota Timberwolves, and Houston Rockets. And the Houston Rockets make sense. Like, they have the best odds or the best shot of all these teams, right? In your opinion?
I would say Rockets, maybe Timberwolves. You know? I mean, hell, maybe Spurs. You know, if you got, you know, Wemby coming back
and all that.
They've got some good. I mean, Castle's going to be rookie of the year, right?
It does feel like that. It sure does. So
that'd be fun to watch.
That'd be wild to watch.
I would hate it.
Two skinny dudes just dominating from the outside. 7 foot plus skinny dudes, or 6'9", I guess, but whatever Durant says.
Yeah, we're not listening to that. If you rock with synergy, it's like a kind of a metric stat house, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it. When it talks about fit with various teams, the teams mentioned, the Knicks, Spurs, and Heat all got a C+, the Timberwolves a B+, the Rockets an A+ fit.
Yeah, supposedly. I think it's Rockets and Timberwolves would be my first two choices. And by the way, he's going to one of those five teams. When they say mutual interest, that means Kevin Durant said these five teams, you know.
Man, what a time, man. What a time to have turned this thing around. 50-plus wins, because they still have an opportunity to add some more wins here. What an incredible season it's been. Salute to all the people involved there. And a different level of salute, 10-time All-Star, 3-time Olympic gold medalist, NCAA champion, and Rockets legend. All right, that's a little much. Carmelo Anthony is going to be inducted into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame.
Very, very happy for Melo. His Rockets.
What I miss most is him
practicing.
Yeah, there's that. There's also him trying to get on that low post or get to that that short corner and do all them jabs and drive everybody else up a wall. Shoot a three. Yeah. Stop shooting these mid-range.
Stop shooting these twos.
But yeah, I mean, he deserves it. Like, I mean, I don't think that there's any other way to cut it. And I do appreciate like him being in that space to where. I hate it, especially with his tenure in the Rockets. You saw that on the downturn of his career. And I do hate when you have a player of a certain caliber where it feels like you're starting to miss out on how great they were because of the latter parts of it. So salute to him.
This ties back to our first conversation at the top of the show here. Daryl Morey, for all the glorious, you know, things that he did, boy, he fell in love with
someone. He was obsessed with Melo.
When he fell in, he tried to get him three times.
Yes, he was obsessed.
He tried to acquire him three times. Finally got him, and then it was a bleep show. But he, for a guy that's all about the numbers and metrics and data and all, he would fall in love with some dude like Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Chris Paul, he was talking about Chris Paul 5 years before they got him. He was. And then Melo.
Wait, legitimately. But I'm saying, like, you don't feel like Kevin Durant is in that space? Because somebody else was like, Rockets don't need a broken down Durant. Yeah, I mean, he's going to be dealing with another. This is a sprain, though, an ankle sprain, which is more.
Yeah, but he's
typical.
Not like Melo coming to the Rockets.
Or even as great as Chris Paul was here, you know, there was the same questions.
Yeah.
And his hammy went on him twice.
Yeah.
I mean, the injury is a concern for Kevin Durant a little bit.
Sure.
But I would take that risk.
Astros fall again. Framber Valdez, I was about to say uncharacteristically.
It's Frombernese.
All right. Uncharacteristically, well, it's not even fair to say uncharacteristically. He couldn't keep the ball down early on, and he got hit fairly hard.
It was about control.
Yeah, it was about control early. 5 runs allowed in the first 2 innings. That was enough to get it done. Astros did find a little bit of offense. Stranded some runners in the fifth, but they found a little bit of offense in the game, which I found to be encouraging in some ways, and maybe that's just how down bad I am. It's just there was an inning where they put a crooked number up, and I was like, oh, cool, awesome. A little bit of offense.
I haven't seen one of those in a while. Is it contrary to say that I called them the Houston Mendozas?
Yes, even though that's where they are. 'Cause
8 out of their 10 players that have been in the regular lineup, you know, are batting 200 or fewer.
No, and you're right in that, but I think that makes me feel like this is such an oddity.
Yeah.
But also, and I don't remember who I saw on social media actually tweeting about this. Do you remember the start of the 2019 season where the bats were very cold?
Yeah.
Like, this has happened, and for a decent amount of time. Mm-hmm. Like, I hate to do it because we know about that feeling. We know about its early guy, but this can kind of happen in baseball. You're going to have those ebbs and flows. It just kind of is weird that you started all at once right off the jump with that. I think that there's still, I still feel confident in quite a few of these hitters to see that they get right. And even if I don't feel great about that, maybe, just maybe, these torpedo bats can come and help it, baby.
Torpedo bats are on the way. Yeah. They are on the way.
Torpedo bats going to get us right, fellas.
I've got a confession about that coming up in about 20 minutes. But look, if it helps you mentally, let's go.
That's a great point. Because obviously,
if it helps you mentally, let's go.
There's the physics of getting more lumber on the particular part of the bat where you're going to make contact and all the, you know.
Forget the physics.
But that's a great point. Like, this, there's probably a large part of this that is indeed mental. I mean, hitting in general is going to be largely mental. If that ends up being the panacea where it's like, yo, I got Michael's magic stuff, right? Like, all of a sudden, if that gets the hitting going, that's enough. Are you at all concerned that the hitting doesn't get going in part just because they're playing in cold weather tonight or today against the Twins? Hunter Brown on the mound, though, which is nice.
It was 30 degrees this morning in Minneapolis. I looked.
Why do they have an outdoor stadium? Why do they have an outdoor stadium?
I don't know.
Like, why is that?
I do not know.
So, yeah, I don't know if that'll bode well for, like, extra base or not even extra base. It's for home runs, you know, with that cold weather. But hopefully at least there could be some hits and definitely some runs needed. In this one, as the Astros will take on the Twins today. Hunter Brown on the mound for your boys. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's return to Nick Caserio talking to the fellas of Payne and Pendergast. I thought there was some really interesting stuff also, including do we now have a blueprint for what it takes to get an extension or a contract from the Texans? We'll talk about that more next.
Payne and Pendergast.
This is going to be a super intriguing season for the Astros, especially early on with this outfield. Offensively, thumbs up. I think it's good. Even with Jake Meyers out there, I'll give it an overall report card of A in terms of intrigue. Defensively, I give it an A+ in terms of intrigue, but a D- in terms of how it's affecting my anxiety.
Wake up with Sean and Seth, 6 to 10 every morning on Sports Radio 610.
Your Odyssey Sports Minute is brought to you by Zadig Jewelers.
This is Andrew Perloff with an Odyssey Sports Minute. The most famous college basketball storyline, of course, is David versus Goliath. That's not available to us this year with 4 number one seeds. But based on the Vegas odds, we do have a true Goliath. Duke looks like it's going to be hard to beat. We know about Cooper Flagg, the star freshman, but the Blue Devils' defense has been a revelation. So even if there's no Cinderella, if you're looking for a favorite to root against, as usual, Duke fits the bill. I'm Andrew Perloff.
Hey, it's Sean Pendergast from my friends at the Men's Tee Clinic. You guys know my story. This is my 5-year anniversary with the Men's Tee Clinic, and I've been going there for my testosterone optimization for the last 5 years, but they've got a long menu of male wellness treatments, and I'm speaking specifically to those of you that are looking to lose weight in the new year. Go to the Men's Tee Clinic so you can talk to them about their amazing weight loss solutions. Hit your goals in the new year and make Men's Tee Clinic the catalyst to do that. Find the location nearest you, 5 around town. It's menstteeclinic.com.
At Diamonds Direct, our experts go the extra mile to ensure you have the tools to say I do with absolute confidence. Our promise to you is a completely risk-free shopping experience rooted in transparency, education, and integrity. No pressure, no intimidation, just clarity and confidence in your purchase. But we're about more than just price. Everything is backed by our exclusive guarantees. Put our tools to the test against any competitor, and our expert staff will ensure you get the very best overall value and unforgettable experience. Learn more at DiamondsDirect.com. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion.
This is Seth Payne. You know, over the years, I've met some great people and businesses here in Houston, and one of them is the crew over at Mokarem Injury Lawyers. If you're ever in a situation where you need a personal injury attorney, you want to call Mokarem Injury Lawyers. They've been serving the Houston community for over 25 years, but you can count on them to come out swinging against all the problems that a car crash brings. They'll always go the distance to get you the compensation and medical attention you deserve so you can focus on taking care of your family. Whether it's a car accident, slip and fall, or any personal injury, they've got your back. Call my friends at Mokarem Injury Lawyers, proud partner of the Houston Rockets, at 281-222-2222. If you or a loved one suffered a serious injury, don't waste time. Call the winning team at Mokarem Injury Lawyers at 281-222-2222. The first consultation is free. You pay absolutely nothing unless they win your case. Call 281-222-2222 or visit MokaremLawFirm.com. Mokarem Injury Lawyers, Principal Office, Houston, Texas.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into